This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. We have another guest for you today. Tim Mai is actually local in Houston. How are you, Tim?
I am doing well. Thank you, Joni. Thanks for having me on today.
Of course. And you know what? We should have probably invited you into the den, right? Being in Houston, why not? But we appreciate you being on. Just a little bio on Tim. So Tim Mai is the embodiment of the American dream. Having survived a childhood that included a war, a dramatic escape from pirates at sea, and a languishing in a refugee camp, he arrived to Houston, Texas at age 12 with his 19-year-old brother, speaking no English and with nothing more than the shirt on their back. Tim sees the opportunities America presented him by hustling his way through high school, college, and eventually realizing his dream of financial independence through real estate. He is an industry leader who has acquired and exited well over $50 million worth of real estate and currently a passive investor in over 2,700 units of multifamily apartments. In the process, Tim has raised over $15 million and partnered with many passive investors to help them earn passive income and build wealth. As the founder of Hero Wealth Partners, Tim strives to provide his investors with stable cash flow and long-term capital appreciation by buying multifamily and other commercial real estate assets. Along with his many business accomplishments, he has also been very active with several charity organizations in Houston and has helped raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for charities. Tim lives in Sugarland with his high school sweetheart, wife, and two amazing teenage boys. And, you know, I have to share something. So you and your wife actually share the same anniversary date as us. So that's pretty cool. And we've been married in the same year as well. So
yeah, it's good.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so. Yeah, and I think some of our kids also share, like, in June's birthday too, right?
They're April.
The April birthdays.
Yeah. April.
But I remember we're always we each congratulate each other on our anniversaries. But yeah, it's rare that you ever find somebody the same amount of years and the same day.
So. And in real estate, yeah. Power couples. And well, Tim, again, thank you. Why don't you give us a little more background? I mean, you have an amazing story. Give us a little bit more background on yourself and how you got started.
Well, do you want the short version? You know, but I'll do the shorter version.
Okay.
Sure. Expand on it if you feel like it. But yeah, so, have you ever heard the term Vietnamese boat people? So I'm one of those people. What that means is after the war ended in 1975, the communist government took over. And you can't just leave Vietnam. You have to escape out of Vietnam. And if they catch you, they'll put you in jail. Hmm. I remember at a very young age, probably, 6 years old or so, our entire family got put in jail because we were trying to escape out.
Wow.
And my whole family had tried to escape out many times, but we weren't able to successfully escape out. And when my oldest brother turned 18, because back then, when a boy turns 18, it's automatic draft into the military. Mm. And so a lot of boys try to, either escape out of the country or they'll cut off their index finger so they can't pull the trigger.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so when my brother turned 18, my parents like, okay, we're going to try to get you out, one more time. And he asked if I want to come along. And I was like, sure, I'll come along because we always come back home anyway. As a kid, as an 11-year-old kid, like, I did not think the possibility of actually making it out successfully. Wow. But my brother and I, he was 18, I was 11. We got on a little fishing boat, I was able to, like, search on Google to find some of those old fishing boats now. But it's not a very big boat. There were 37 of us. I was the only child.
Wow.
So all the women and me were underneath the deck. We were like laying like sardines. My brother and the other man was sitting by the engine, like constantly scooping out water. Because you have to go in stealth mode. You can't. Yeah, you have to be. Looks like just a small little boat. Nobody's on it. And try to get out in the middle of the night. It took us 7 days and six nights just to go from Vietnam to Malaysia. Huh. If you go on a speedboat now, it's probably a few hours.
Wow.
So we literally were just floating out at sea. Back, you know, where the pirates thing, whole thing came out. So back then, I don't know if it's still the case now, but there were a lot of Thai fishermen who you know, would, whenever they pull you over, they would, you know, rob you, rape the woman, throw the man off the boat. They were very cruel.
Whoa.
For us, you know, they came over, they took whatever valuable that they could find, and luckily they left us on our way after that.
Mm.
My sister-in-law's family, my brother's wife's family, they weren't so fortunate. So half of the family got passed away, you know, in the escape. After that we made it to the Malaysian refugee camp. We spent a year in the refugee camp, and then we came here to Houston, to Seabrook, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got my start. My one of my uncles was living there, so we stayed with him for a little bit, and then we moved out into our own Section 8 housing apartment.
Wow.
And it's so funny because when I'm going and touring apartments now, and you know the older ones,
uh-huh.
the Class B's one, like it takes me back to that old apartment because it looks just like it.
Wow.
Apartments that were built in the 70s and 60s, yeah, it looks just like it. So fast forward, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to finish high school. Doing college, I got recruited by an IT firm, and so mm-hmm. I dropped out of college, started working with IT firm during the .com boom, mm-hmm. and then of course the .com buzz came shortly
yeah.
after that, and the company went belly up and laid everybody off, and so I was forced to, you know, decide what to do next, and so I got into real estate investing in 2002,
mm-hmm.
Right here, you know. So the IT firm was in Dallas. I moved back to Houston and started investing, and you know, and here we are.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
What an incredible story. I am so glad you shared that. And, you know, just thinking about all of this and the mindset that it took, you know, to accomplish, to overcome these challenges.
Yeah. I think it's hard for people just to start they're born in the U.S. They, you know, maybe had humble beginnings, but they didn't have to overcome the challenges mm-hmm. that you did, and the leaving your family and your country and no money, so I guess, like, how do you see it, or how did you view life, or just to push yourself to get
right.
educated?
Well, yeah. Yeah. That's a really great question because, you know, as a kid, I didn't know any better. Like there was no other life to compare to, like, this is my life and uh-huh. this is it. Like, I wasn't thinking, oh, you know, poor me or anything like that, because this is life.
Right.
There was nothing I need to push myself for because I didn't really have anything to compare to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But what I did learn along that whole journey is just learn to hustle, learn to find ways to make a living. You
mm-hmm.
know, growing up without my parents, my brother and I, we did whatever stupid stuff we could do to to survive. And
yeah.
So we did a lot of stuff, including, you know, dealing drugs and stuff like that. So imagine, right? Like, my brother dealing drugs. I was in middle school when he's away. When he's out of town to get more drugs, like, I take over the business at home.
Oh, my.
In middle school.
So, you know, like, we did a lot of stupid stuff back then.
Yeah.
Fortunate, you know, we got out of that environment. It's just like that. Your survival skill kicks in, right? And you
yep.
just do whatever you know to do.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like feast or famine, and I talk about that all the time. Like, if you don't know any better, I mean, I didn't have an extreme, you know, childhood like you did, but yeah, you don't. You just do whatever you have to, right?
Yeah. What's it like living in a, you know, a certain class of apartment, and then fast forward, you're buying those yeah. apartments and owning them.
That's pretty cool.
Probably pretty surreal too, right?
Yeah, it's so surreal. I mean, like I said, you know, the first time I walked in an apartment, it was almost identical to the one that I lived in. It's like, wow. It's just, yeah, it brings so much memories back. And I can also understand too, like the crime that happens in those type of environments and apartments and stuff like that. So like, yeah, I can connect and yeah, and also too, it keeps me humble. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, it hasn't been that long ago since, you know, I've been in that environment. And so I can understand the people that live there. I can, you know, understand the whole, you know, I've been through a lot of, you know, my own ups and downs, you know, as an entrepreneur. So yeah, I can relate. I'm not out of reach.
Yeah.
We were just talking, you know, before, you know, we started the show was that, you know, you're getting up there with one of the original, the OGs, you know, in this industry. Yes. And so, which is kind of neat as well, but, cause I remember you from, 2005, I think, when there was like Due Deals, I think it was .com back then. I think, yep. And so, way back and doing your education platform that you had back then. But, what keeps you striving for more and what drives you, I guess, kind of your why, today? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and it changes. I go through seasons, right? When I first started, it was just to make a living. Mm-hmm. And you know, in the beginning of my business, it's all about, okay, you know, how can I grow my business? How can I make a living? You know, how can I make so much money that can last for, you know, at least three generations was my big goal when I first started my real estate investing journey. And it's funny because it switched now to, it's like, no, I don't want to leave money as a wealth. Like I don't want to leave, you know, monetary. Mm-hmm. I want to leave them with the knowledge and the skill sets, you know, of what it takes, right? The wisdom of what it takes to succeed so they can build their own, you know, so it has evolved. And then when I got into the education business was when I switched from business as a tool to make money to business as a tool to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I've been on that journey a lot more, I guess, for the last 15 years. And it evolves more and more to where, so it's sort of like that scale from, okay, business is all about money to business is all about the difference. So I've been growing more and more and more and more toward this side where now, like my business decisions is no longer, how profitable is that project? But all right, who's that going to make a difference for? How am I, you know, how, right. Like, how am I going to, be fulfilled by this project, mm-hmm. you know, with the impact that I want to make. And so, yeah, my decision-making process has changed a lot. And yeah, I'm, you know, I realized if you're familiar with Tony Robbins' Six Human Needs, mm-hmm. I realized that my needs for contribution is really high up there. Mm-hmm. And so that's what drives me a lot in my business.
That's awesome. Great.
And the money probably follows anyway, but, the more people you help, the more you also profit.
Yeah.
So
tell us a little bit about Hero Wealth Partners and Capital Raising Nation.
Yeah. So, coming into the, commercial real estate industry, I wanted to like figure out how can I play best to my strength and just focus on what I'm good at only, and, you know, partner with others for the rest of it. The big difference between all the residential single family homes that I've done versus now on this commercial side, the single family home stuff, the deals are smaller, they're easier. You know, I can do the whole thing, right? From buying the deals to rehabbing it, to selling it, I can do the whole thing. But in this commercial space, I can't do that anymore. Not at the level of scale that I want to get to. And so I thought a lot about, you know, how do I want to position myself? I decided to focus on specializing in raising capital for deals, and mm-hmm. then partnering up with other operators. So I wanted to build a whole community of capital raisers to learn from them, you know, to share, you know, my own knowledge with them as well. So that's how Capital Raising Nation was born. And then, yeah, the Hero Wealth Partners is our sort of brand or the part of our business where we take on passive investors to invest with us on deals. So yeah, we have a lot of brand that's underneath the General Hero brand. Mm-hmm. I envision the Hero brand will be similar to like the Virgin brand, where it will have a lot of companies underneath it.
Underneath it. Mm-hmm. How'd you get the name Hero? Like, where did that birth from?
Yeah, so it stands for. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to, like, you know, in part of my journey of of having a business that that is about contribution, I thought a lot about what name would I give it, and I went through this whole EOS process. Mm-hmm. And so HERO actually stands for Heart-Centered Entrepreneurs Enriching Others.
Very cool.
So yeah, the R is a little stretch there, but we made it work.
Yeah, that's awesome. A question I had for you that it's neat, I even though we live in the same town, we don't get to see each other as much as we probably should, but I get to watch you on Facebook and see you, and you've always had great family values and great relationship and great kids and stuff like that. How that doesn't come natural, that doesn't come that's what I'm looking for. Like, it does.
It's work.
Yeah, but I mean, it. You put effort and intentional. That's what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, can you talk to that on like maybe stuff you do between business but value your family and what you do to make them a priority?
Yeah, it's awesome that you asked that because I don't think anyone has ever interviewed me and asked that because I grew up with a very abusive father, when I was young. I mean, part of his upbringing too, I'm sure. But I hated that part about my dad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to be the kind of father that my kids know that I love them. Mm-hmm. Like, without a shadow of a doubt, they know I love them. Mm-hmm. I can discipline them, I can be upset, but they don't have any doubt that I love them. So that became the driving principle, I guess, behind my parenting style. My wife and I, we share that in common, where we're really big on our family connectedness and the relationships that we have. We want to make sure our kids have the freedom to be able to share with us like whatever that's going on in their lives. I'll give you an example. You know, my son is going through his very first breakup right now. My older one. It's his first girlfriend, first breakup. And he woke up in the morning, he called me in and talked to me about it. I was like, wow, like, this is really awesome. He talked to me before even he talked to his mom.
Oh, that's sweet.
So that is very intentional for sure. And a lot of it has to do with, with the relationship that I wanted my kids that I didn't have with my dad. Mm-hmm. And then being away, so 20 something years of my life was without my parents. Mm-hmm. And so I longed for that too, right? Because I didn't have that. Right. My older brother was basically my father figure. Mm-hmm. So I longed for that also. And so it also has a lot to do with, how I am around my family now.
Mm-hmm. And even to take that one step for your relationship with your wife, I see that also. And, and that itself, like, it takes work, right? You have to be intentional with that.
Especially
as well.
As an entrepreneur.
Right.
And you guys worked together for many years. I'm sorry.
How do you still take the time to still work on your relationship? Because I think Sean says, as entrepreneurs, it's hard to be able to, because we are, we want to just run, right? As entrepreneurs, but we have to like stop and say no, like, what's really important?
Right. Well, so I have my wife to thank for that.
Yeah.
So we committed to our date nights every Friday night. That's great. No matter what I'm doing, no matter where I'm at, like, I have to block out you know, that Friday night. So even like if I'm attending an event, I can't do anything with anyone else at that event on Friday night. And then like I, you know, even when I'm hosting my own event, I have to end it at such a time and then go on a date that with her and then come back for the event.
Well, hey, that's there's power in saying no, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So we know why you leave on a Friday at 6 o'clock. Where's Tim? that's special. Yeah, that's awesome. Keep going. Yeah. Is there other things you do?
So she holds me accountable for that. So I'm really easy. I mean, I can go with I can go with the flow, go wherever. So I was like, okay, you know, it's your night. I'm done. That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
that's sweet. Great.
Yeah. Hey, with your experience, I want to pick your brain a little bit about, because you've lived through different cycles like we have, and you lived through the last one. Mm-hmm. And you said you've had some ups and downs and can you share maybe some of those experiences, some you learned in the last recession, and then with interest rates and the market changing, and what should people be cautious of as the rest of this year and into next year?
Right. So I'll probably answer it a little bit differently because I'm not a economist type person, but I'm just an entrepreneur. What I do realize is that the last market crash in 2008, I lost a ton of money. Mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of fix and flips back then. And, I had 30 something properties at different stages of construction and for sale. And overnight, the buyers were out. And what I didn't know back then that I'm doing differently now, back then I try to navigate through that whole thing by myself. Mm-hmm. Right. So I did what I know to do. I didn't reach out for help. I was just like, okay, I'm going to figure this thing out. So in the process, I lost some of the properties through foreclosures, and then some of them I turned into rentals and so this time around, there's so many, so first thing I did when the market shift this time is I formed a mastermind of other guys that I respect to brainstorm on how we're going to navigate through this.
Right.
And I let them know, it's like, the last time I did it, I just, got in all alone by myself, trying to figure it out all by myself. But this time I want to have wise counsels around me. So that's the first thing I did. And then the second I did, and I let my team know too, is like, look, this business is about, evolving. Mm-hmm. And, no matter where the market is, we have to constantly not be fearful about it, right? Not be afraid of it. And it's like, okay, how can I take advantage of this market? How can I prepare myself better? So yes, one side of our business, we do a lot of land deals, and that business we were primarily selling to builders and developers. Mm-hmm. And with the market, with the interest rate change, they drastically reduced their buys of the lots. Mm-hmm. I was working on a big deal where I was going to get Pulte Homes involved as well. This is a new construction, and they backed out of it because they're like, okay, we just want shovel ready projects now. Mm-hmm. So we had to navigate through that. The difference between this time is that I'm not afraid of whatever that's going to go on the market, however it's going to adjusting. I'm just going to, I look for opportunities on how I can double down and see, where's the opportunities that I can take advantage of, even if worst case scenario comes.
Right.
So I would say, especially if the listeners are investors and navigating through this, is just don't be afraid of it. Right. Mm-hmm. Reach out for help is a huge one. Form a group around you, almost like a mastermind group around you to help you navigate through it, however it's going to go. Mm-hmm. But I hear so many different mixed messages of, Even from like the guys that I, you know, the experts that I look up to, mm-hmm. they even the experts are having conflicting information.
Correct.
So it's like, okay, you know what? Who cares where it goes? Just, you know, we're just going to take advantage of it regardless, right? And navigate through it one step at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah. I I'm going to put you on the spot, but the you're really good at, you've always been this, and I've always seen this from you, surrounding yourself with you know, either like-minded people or people that you, maybe not even like-minded, but people
positive,
that like, people that you respect,
right.
different
right.
industries, and whether it be your hero mastermind or, you know, some of the coaching events you've done.
Right.
Yeah, and you participate in. Tell me, like, your top three, like, takeaways that you've ever gotten from either somebody else or from those groups that you think people could really benefit from.
Good question.
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot because I don't know. I mean, you pull this out of your out of the sky, but I'm just wondering. You know, being around very influential people that in this space, you know, maybe your top three takeaways.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one like I said, is willing to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, willing to be open, be vulnerable. You know, because for the longest time, like, vulnerability is something that I have a really hard time with for mm-hmm. the longest time, because I always want to look like I know what I'm doing. so willing to open up, you know, willing to be vulnerable, willing to ask for help, I would say it's probably like one of the biggest ones. And then the second big one is is that, like, the mindset of whatever challenges I'm going through right now, it's meant for good. It's not meant to bring me down. It meant to grow me. It meant to, one of the guys, the way he said it, I'll just say it the way he says it. He said that every one bad thing happens to me means that there's three good things that are coming for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I don't sweat over bad stuff because I know three good things are coming. So, like, that kind of mindset, you know, it's not just positive thinking, but it's this sort of this expectation.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, whenever we're going through challenges, when bad stuff are going, we feel like our war is ending, right?
Right.
Like, this is all we see.
Yeah. You're so right.
And I've heard it differently. Like, things happen for us, not to us. That's hard for some people that mm-hmm. have gone through maybe a really mm-hmm. tragic event for them to understand that. But I think when you get through the other side, you see that, like, wow, I had to go through that in order to just open my eyes sometimes mm-hmm. to see mm-hmm. these other scenarios or that you probably wouldn't have got to if you didn't go through what you had to go through.
And then the third one, it's about, you know, surrounding yourself with people who are much smarter than you, right? With the single family home stuff, like, you know, I could do that stuff in my sleep. So I was just, but, you know, with this commercial stuff, commercial real estate stuff, like, you know, I've given up trying to be smart in it.
Yeah. We've had some good guests on the show I pick their brain too on just
it's okay to be the dumbest person in the room. That's what you want to be.
exactly. And, you know, like, I really learned to stay in my lane, focus on what I'm really good at, and partnering with others, you know. So the people I'm partnering up with now, they're so much smarter than me. and then interviewing. I do a lot of interviews too, right? And I find mm-hmm. like the guys that are like top of the industry to interview, and it stretches my mind so much. Every time I do, my mind gets stretched more. And so I love that.
That's awesome.
How can people find out about, because you do, if they want to know more, is there, like, where can they go? Is there a social page or stuff that I would like to just share that resource real quick, just what, because you do interview some really outstanding guests.
Mm-hmm.
Where can they find that?
Platform?
Yeah, right. So timmai.com is probably the best, easiest place, and then it takes you from there. But connect with me on LinkedIn. And that, you know, and yeah, I think once you go on timmy.com, it gives you links to the other stuff that I have. I, as an entrepreneur, I do have a lot of different things going on.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's a good,
You do have a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
You know, Tim, one question I have for you. So if you can go back in your, say, your early 20s, what advice would you give yourself?
You know, so that's a really good one. I I'm sure you guys hear this all the time, and you guys are really good at this, but sell less and hold more, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, the real wealth is built by the properties that we hold on yes. to, not the ones that we flip. I wish that I had forced myself. Making money has always been very easy for me to do. And because of that, I take for granted, the importance of holding, onto these properties. Cause when I was younger, I always think, oh, if I need to make more money, I can always do another deal and I can always do another deal. It's not a big deal. You know, I can always buy another house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's the biggest, you know, if I can go back and redo it all again, I would like try not to flip any of them if I don't have to.
Yeah.
and then also the second one would be like go straight into commercial, forget about all these single family homes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love this multifamily commercial space so much more for so many different reasons. But as an entrepreneur who loves growth, just this area allows me to grow, you know, just so much more.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
What's your next? So this comes from David Phelps, which I think you know him as well. But the what's your next? What's Tim Mai's, next 5 to 10 years look like? Retirement, right. So, or keep going, keep helping others.
I don't think I'll ever retire officially. I mean, even if I'm, even if I'm much older, I would just mentor young people. Mm-hmm. As what I do when I'm retired.
Yeah.
But what's next for me? I'm all in on growing my multifamily commercial real estate business right now. And I'm doing it two different ways. So number one, I'm building out that for my empire. And then at the same time, I'm also, teaching the young as in teens to go directly into multifamily and commercial real estate. And so I have a program that I'm running at the same time called the Teen Millionaire Challenge.
Oh, that's cool.
Where me and my friends, we take on teenagers and just teach them, a multifamily and commercial real estate. So I can imagine whenever I'm done building my empire over here, this Teen Millionaire Challenge will keep on going until I die.
That's amazing. I might have to put my, he's not a teen yet, but he'll be a teen in a couple months. Maybe I'll put him through your program.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's great. So, Tim, how can people get a hold of you and also work with you?
Yeah. So, timmy.com, you get access to all of my stuff from there, and then, connect with me on LinkedIn. Those were the two best ways. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, we appreciate that. We're going to put that in the show notes so people can reach out and touch base with you. You're a wealth of knowledge and wisdom. And so we really appreciate this time. And if there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know. But thank you again for joining us today.
Yes. Thank you so much, Tim.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, everybody, please share this. Please like it. That's how the show grows. And otherwise, we'll see you all next week.
See you, everyone.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at insidethewolfsden.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.